Simone, can you hear us? Simone? Wir haben jetzt, wenn wir ein bisschen Glück haben, Dr. Simone Gold. Das ist die Ärztin, die die Gruppierung America's Frontline Doctors gegründet hat, die wir schon ein paar Wochen hier hatten. Die haben wir jetzt nochmal bei uns für ein kleines Update. Wir wollen von ihr hören, wie sich die Lage in den USA entwickelt hat. Sie weiß darüber sehr viel, weil sie auch an einigen Rechtsstreiten, die auch Kollegen von uns, mit denen wir eng zusammenarbeiten, führen, beteiligt ist. Simone, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. How has your life been over the last couple of weeks?
So, are you able to aim the camera so I can see you? Are you able to? Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, now you can see me,
so,
right?
I just wanted to update you on a couple of things. We filed, just barely, thank you. Mm-hmm. We filed a couple of lawsuits, and we have another two coming this week. America's Frontline Doctors is also going around the nation talking almost every night in a different city. And you know, we have a large country, so that takes a lot of time and energy. I wanted to ask you specifically, I don't think anybody in our team understands how to best use this threat of a crime against humanity. And also your legal opinion, if there's a way to include the judges in the threat if they're not doing the right thing. What we're encountering is that the judges feel a little bit either immune or they themselves don't understand their power that they have. And we wanted to include the judges in a type of pleading where we say, if you don't do the right thing, you too could find yourself as a defendant in a crime against humanity. If you have any guidance on that, that would be great. And the last thing is, and again, I may be very ignorant of these questions, but it would help to the other cases that are going on across the world so that the judges understand this is truly a worldwide phenomenon. So we've compiled a list of cases, but I don't think we're complete. I imagine that there's others. So I would request, you know, just to know what else is being filed or is coming.
Okay.
If possible.
Well, as far as this is a really bad line. That's why I didn't quite understand your second question. The first one is quite clear. Let me quickly translate it, and then I'm going to ask you again about the second question. The first one is about the crimes against humanity. That's the issue there. Also Simone sagt, sie ist jetzt praktisch jede Nacht in irgendeiner anderen Stadt unterwegs, nicht nur sie alleine, sondern America's Frontline Doctors, und versuchen dafür zu sorgen, dass hier Transparenz ins Spiel kommt. Und dann hat sie gleich eine Frage an mich gehabt, weil sie sagt, an uns gehabt, weil sie sagt, wie geht man mit diesen Crimes Against Humanity um? Wie kriegt man das in die Gerichte rein? Und die zweite Frage habe ich nicht richtig verstanden, weil die Verbindung so schlecht ist. Can you repeat the second question, Simone?
I think it would help our judges to know what other lawsuits are filed across the world so that the judges know this is a worldwide problem. We think many judges don't understand how huge this is. So we wanted to present them some type of list as to all the lawsuits that are going on or going to go on. Or in America, we have a citizen petition against the FDA. So we've compiled a list, but I don't think it's complete in any way. Mm-hmm. If you have any kind of list of litigation that's proposed or already started, I think that would be helpful.
Okay, now I got it. Okay. Okay, as far as your first question is concerned, the crimes against humanity, these crimes against humanity were defined as a result and also as the basis for the Nuremberg trials. And the Nuremberg trials were held right after World War II in 1940. I think they started in 1946, and they were called Nuremberg trials because they were held in the town of Nuremberg, which is one of the strongholds of the Nazis back in the Third Reich. And the idea is the following. Many of the perpetrators of these crimes, in particular, by the way, the doctors, because there were heinous crimes committed by people like, I don't know if you know his name, but Dr. Mengele, he performed...
Reiner. My father was a Holocaust survivor. I'm fairly familiar.
Okay, good. So that's how this evolved. And there, the perpetrator's defense was, we followed orders. That's how they came up with crimes against humanity, because even if you're asked to follow orders, you have to be able, and this is on a different level, you have to be able, I suppose now that we're talking about this in the context of Corona, this is a level that has to do with consciousness, with probably spirituality, name it what you will. It is something that every human being should know that they cannot do, even if they're ordered to do it. That's what crimes against humanity is. It's terrible crimes, killing people, maiming people, whatever. And then the perpetrators come up with the defense of, I just followed order. I didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. That's what the Nuremberg trial said. You did. Everyone does have a choice. And as we now know, some people took this choice and some people refused to go along with this. And guess what? Nothing happened to them. Yes. Remember Schindler's List. This is a real person. He survived. And I just read a book on how the judicial system was completely undermined during the Third Reich. We now know that many of the people who committed serious, serious crimes as judges survived the war and then continued with their dirty work after the war. What was I going to say? So that's what crimes against humanity is about. It applies now again, of course, only on a much grander scale, as it seems. As you're rightly pointing out, this time it's not just World War I or World War II. This is World War III, and this time it concerns pretty much every corner of the world. I don't think there's any corner of the world, maybe out there in the jungle or in the desert someplace, but I don't think there's any corner in the world where they don't try to push this agenda.
Is there a way to bring the judges into this, where the judges could be put on notice in our lawsuits, that should they too not follow the law, not follow Nuremberg Code, that they too may be found culpable?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
That's I think we need a little help with that.
Yes.
We do.
It's an extremely interesting thought, because We had before you came on, we had two medical doctors. And before that, there was a lawyer from Austria, and they have a really good group of lawyers out there in Austria. And he explained how he still has faith in the functioning of the governmental institutions. He doesn't have any faith in the government, but he still believes that the courts of law do their job. And they do in Austria, apparently. They don't here in Germany. And that's why I explained this to him. And what I've been doing for 15 years now, probably a little bit longer, is going into courts of law to fight large corporations. And the instant I walk into the courtroom, and the same experience as all of my colleagues. We used to be 17 lawyers in my firm, and all of them had the same experience. The moment you walk into the courtroom, you realize you're not just fighting against the other party. No, you're fighting against the judges who are completely in line with powerful corporations or institutions. And that's what I've been thinking about. And I have actually I have filed criminal complaints against judges for breaking the law. This will have to happen on a much grander scale. It's a very interesting thought because I haven't thought about this thus far because I have more or less given up on the German judiciary. I know that there are a few people out there. We're going to mention an institution or a group of lawyers. They call themselves, of judges rather, and prosecutors. They call themselves CRISTA, which is short for
Netzwerk kritischer Richter und Staatsanwälte.
Very important people, but it's only 60.
No, it's not 60.
Maybe it's only 50?
No, it's not. It's
more? She told me.
No, it's not. There's no official number, and I know it's much more.
Okay, very good. Maybe it's many more. They agree with us. Interestingly enough, they agree with us. They know that their own colleagues are committing crimes. We have retired judges who came out into the open, and I hope we're going to be able to interview some of them, retired judges, who do say and have said in public that what their colleagues are doing, not in connection with the corona cases, but other cases, so it should be even worse now, but they're publicly explaining that many of their colleagues are criminals because they're committing crimes in the courts of law. I have to translate this quickly. Also, sie hat mich gefragt, was ist mit diesen Crimes against Humanity, Verbrechen gegen die Menschlichkeit? Das ist erfunden worden, in Anführungsstrichen, oder ist ein Straftatbestand geworden, der sich am Ende des Zweiten Weltkriegs aufgrund der Nürnberger Prozesse ergeben hat. Die heißen so, ich sage das nicht, weil ich glaube, dass sie keine Ahnung davon haben, aber ich weiß, dass ein paar Leute das einfach nicht wissen. Die heißen so, weil diese Prozesse in Nürnberg stattgefunden haben. Und beschäftigen sich mit den Kriegsverbrechern. Da gab es den Hauptkriegsverbrecherprozess, wo dann Leute wie Göring, der sich dann allerdings seiner Strafe entzogen hat, indem er Gift genommen hat, und andere Kriegsverbrecher, aber nur eine kleine Zahl, vor Gericht gestellt wurden. Einige zum Tode verurteilt wurden, manche wurden freigesprochen. Die aus meiner Sicht wesentlich wichtigeren Verbrecher waren die Juristen. Denen ist gar nichts passiert. Aber es gab auch noch die Ärzteprozesse, das waren auch Nürnberger Prozesse, und die dienten dazu, erstens festzustellen, was ist da passiert. Man wusste, dass in den Konzentrationslagern von Ärzten grausamste Verbrechen begangen wurden. Einer davon war Dr. Mengele, so heißt er. Und man wusste, dass sowas nie wieder passieren darf. Das war der Grund, warum es auch diese Ärzteprozesse gab. Und das war der Grund dafür, dass es am Ende diesen Nürnberger Code gab, aus dem sich ergeben hat, dass medizinische Eingriffe nur dann keine Körperverletzung sind, wenn der Patient, hier geht es um zu Impfende, wenn der Patient seine Einwilligung erteilt. Und seine Einwilligung ist wiederum nur dann wirksam, wenn er informiert wurde. Deswegen eben diese lange Diskussion auch mit Dr. Hirte darüber, dass, wie wir ja auch an Vivianes kleinen Einspieler gesehen haben, dass hier überhaupt keine Aufklärung stattfindet, sondern nur falsche Aufklärung. Okay, I just had to translate this. Oh, the other thing, ja, die Richter. Die Richter, the judges, sie fragt, kann man nicht auch die Richter zur Verantwortung ziehen? Ja, das kann man natürlich. Auch Richter stehen nicht über dem Gesetz. Es gibt den Straftatbestand der Rechtsbeugung, so heißt das bei uns. Den kann man anzeigen, das ist ein Verbrechen. Das hat nach dem Kriege nur in extremsten Fällen, weil man musste ja die Kriegsverbrecher schützen, sonst wären die alle dran gewesen, Richter, nur in extremsten Fällen, wenn man also sozusagen einen Richter dabei ertappt hat, wie er irgendwo auf frischer Tat Gold geklaut hat. Das hat nur in solchen ganz, ganz extremen Fällen jemals zu Verurteilen geführt, in Deutschland sonst nicht. Also das ganze System bei uns ist, das Rechtssystem ist aus meiner Sicht vollkommen kaputt. Ausnahmen gibt es zwar noch, aber es ist kaputt. So this is, I have been trying to hold some of the judges responsible for their crimes in the courts of law. It has never been successful. Rather, in one case, one of the they filed a criminal complaint against me because I had published that criminal complaint, because I thought, and I still think, that it's important for the public to know that the judiciary has problems, and that is serious problems, which are now even worse than ever. But in other countries, that's a different story. That's why we have this international cooperation of lawyers. And we are, as far as you know, Anna Garner and Tom Rentz, they are the ones, I think they're the ones, two of the lawyers who filed your motion for a temporary restraining order. So they are fully informed, but I'm more than happy to give you all the information that we have as far as judgments and even maybe briefs that can be used as a blueprint in other countries. So if there's anything we can do, we'll send it all to you.
Yeah. So I don't think that our judiciary is completely corrupt. I think there's some that are corrupt, but I think a lot of them need a little bit of persuasion mm-hmm. that they need to follow the law themselves. Mm-hmm. It's more like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that even Anna and Tom are really that familiar with crimes against humanity types of pleadings, or I don't think anyone is familiar with going after judges, mm-hmm. if you want to know the truth. Because yeah. I've asked this question. That's why I joined the call, because I asked this question of several people, and people are like, oh, that's interesting. But nobody has ever done this, as far as that I know. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a little guidance in that. But
I can, I'm more than happy to share all the information I have on these cases against judges. I've done a few of them. None of them has ever been successful, even though in some of the articles that I published with legal magazines, I got very positive responses. So there is an awareness in the legal community that there's something off the rails with our judicial system and with judges in particular. There is an awareness there, but the general public doesn't know about it, and the judges themselves don't want to hear about it. It's a very, very difficult situation, but I agree with you. From my experience, this is much less pervasive in the United States than it is here in Germany.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ja, ich habe ihr eben, sie hatte eben gefragt, ob, weil ja die auch die beiden eben genannten Kollegen Anna Garner und Tom Rentz, die wir auch schon hier angehört haben, weil die sich auch so gut nicht mit den Crimes Against Humanity auskennen, was man da machen kann. Also ich habe ihr gesagt, wir können alles, was wir haben, rübergeben, auch die Entscheidungen und die Musterschriftsätze, die wir von Kollegen haben, Michael Swinwood oder auch vom CHD haben oder aus Australien haben, aus Österreich haben, können wir alles rübergeben, machen wir auch. Mein persönlicher Eindruck ist, dass ein Vorgehen gegen Richter bislang hier ohne Aussicht auf Erfolg ist in Deutschland. Die Lage ist aber auch nach meiner persönlichen Erfahrung, auch nach Simons Einschätzung in den USA eine andere. Da gibt es zwar auch etliche Leute, die aus Angst oder aus Korruptionsgründen das machen, was der Führer befiehlt, in Anführungsstrichen, aber sie sagt, da sind schon noch eine Menge Richter, die man ein bisschen in die richtige Richtung drücken muss oder ihnen erklären muss, dass es sich hier um ein weltweites verheerendes Problem handelt, und dann könnte man damit erfolgreich sein.
So what is the status of the, you know, these unleashed states in the US at the moment? What's your feeling? Are more states going to open up, or what has life been in the US?
So it's, I'm going around the nation, and I would say most of the country is open mm-hmm. in terms of lockdowns, which was a little bit surprising. I'm in New York right now, and I'm fairly surprised at how open it is. But it's impossible to know if it's because people got vaccination and they feel they can walk around, or if the governors are scared. But it's definitely open. But it's not good. It's not good. You know, I visited communist countries when I was young, and it feels a little bit like that, like the communism is, and I've never felt that in America ever. So we are very, very worried, very worried.
Yeah, I think this is the calm before the storm. I think things will get worse in the fall, winter, and spring. So we have to use the time that we have in order to get the things in place that need to be put in place. Part of it go ahead.
We're going to be filing a couple of lawsuits this week that I think are important. Mm-hmm. And it's not ready yet, but one of the lawsuits is to really try to rescue the soldiers that are being forced to get the vaccines. And even though it's not an enormous number, it's such an important point that I think that will cause a lot of, a lot more people to wake up. I got a message. I believe I got a message to the president through people that he knows. And for the first time, he said something not incredibly positive about the vaccines, which was the first time he said, he said that children really shouldn't get it and they don't need it. This was a complete departure from anything he had said in the past. So I'm optimistic a little bit that he listened to some people that I got it in their ear and told him it would be a game changer if the president would speak out with what we've told him this week, which is that this is a constitutional crisis. That them forcing the vaccines is a constitutional crisis. He does not understand that yet. But for the first time, he said something that didn't, you know, brag about Operation Warp Speed, but instead said, kids don't need it. Kids shouldn't have to take it. That sounds like such a minor point, but he's never said anything like that publicly. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful. I will say that the American citizens really do seem to be resisting the vaccine it's quite interesting. There's been such desperation on the people pushing the vaccine that the Americans are getting very shocked and alarmed. We get really thousands and thousands of emails. And part of the reason I go around the nation is to understand what it's like in other areas. And there's tremendous concerns. I mean, it's like, I don't want to overstate it, but I don't think either side is going to back down. So I think there is an opportunity for the court cases. I think the judges I think there's an opportunity here. And I just think the judges need to be reminded that they too have to follow the law. Mm-hmm. I just want language in there that like wakes them up. Mm-hmm. That's really what I'm searching to do. Mm-hmm. The military cases, we're going to be bringing a lot of cases on behalf of university students. We think those cases are very strong. There are individual governors who've said you can't mandatory vaccinate. Another one just said it was the governor of Arizona. That was a pretty big deal. There's definitely some progress, you know, more in our direction than theirs. We also will be representing a couple of plaintiffs in essentially medical malpractice and against the pharmaceutical company, believe it or not, for a young 18-year-old girl that had 4 strokes. That's a big deal.
What happened to the 18-year-old girl?
She took Johnson & Johnson, and then she had a stroke, and then she had another stroke, and then she had another stroke. Oh. And everybody said it wasn't the vaccine. Of course, it was the vaccine. I don't know in Germany, but in America, if you can get a very sympathetic plaintiff, it makes a big difference. And she's very, very sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid this doesn't make a difference in Germany. Only very few judges have any empathy whatsoever, in my experience.
You know, I don't think our judiciary is completely corrupt. I don't even think they're mostly corrupt. Mm-hmm. I think they're mostly weak and mostly followers. Yeah. And I think there's some that are corrupt. Sometimes you read a ruling and you're like, wow, that guy is corrupt. Mm-hmm. But it's not the majority. It's definitely not the majority. And in the state system, in the federal system, there's so many different courts. I think we still have room for sure. And we're going to try in many different areas. We're going to try with many different universities, and we're going to try in the military as well. We're going to try with people who've been actually injured, like this 18-year-old girl. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to win some of these cases. That's the truth. I do.
Yeah.
By the way, also, just before I forget, there's a Dr. Cullen who really wants to speak with you about some, he thinks you have some of the data wrong. I didn't get into it, but I'll arrange that.
Who's that?
Cullen. Cullen, C-U-L-L-E-N. Cullen.
Okay.
He's a statistician, epidemiologist kind of person. I was asked to mention that by a person who is I'm working with, who has good judgment.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be happy to talk to him. And it's always good to not stick to your mistakes, but rather to correct them. That's what we're there for. We're trying to get to the truth. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. And if we're off track, somebody needs to tell us. And we're really happy for such corrections.
I can't comment. I can comment that the person is reputable. So I didn't get into any of it because of other things.
Let's look into it.
Yeah, let's take a look at it. Let me quickly translate this. Also, sie hat auf Vivianes Frage, wie die Lage in den USA ist, weil wir ja wissen, dass 30 Staaten, also vor ein paar Tagen waren es 30 Staaten, offen sind. Hat sie gesagt, sie reist ja durch das ganze Land und das Land ist ja einige Male größer als Deutschland. Und sie hat den Eindruck, dass das Land wieder offen ist. Aber die Tatsache, dass das Land offen ist, dass also offenbar die ganzen Zwangsmaßnahmen, so muss man sie ja bezeichnen, langsam zurückgefahren worden sind, ändert nichts daran, dass sie das Gefühl hat, dass sie in einem kommunistischen Land lebt. Sie sagt, sie war als Kind, als junge Frau oder Kind in vielen kommunistischen Ländern. Und dieses genau gleiche Gefühl hat sie jetzt auch in ihrem eigenen Land. Hätte nicht gedacht, dass sowas jemals möglich ist. Sie hat aber vorsichtigen Optimismus angemeldet. Sie hat einen Brief über verschiedene Kanäle direkt an den Präsidenten, an Joe Biden, geschickt. Und der hat offenbar darauf reagiert, indem er gesagt hat, dass Kinder nicht geimpft werden müssen. Die brauchen keine Impfung. Das wäre natürlich, sie sagt, das ist ein kleines Zeichen. Nur nee, ich finde, das ist schon ein gigantisches Zeichen. Sie bekommt immer noch, oder die America's Frontline Doctors bekommen immer noch Tausende von E-Mails jeden Tag. Sie sagt, jetzt scheint es aber eine Chance zu geben, auch in den Rechtsstreiten. Sie haben eine Reihe weiterer Rechtsstreite anhängig gemacht, unter anderem einen, wo es um die Soldaten geht, die sonst der Zwangsimpfung anheimfallen. Das ist hier genauso. Bei uns haben nur solche Rechtsstreite erst recht keine Chance, weil Soldatenrecht ist Bestandteil des Verwaltungsrechts. Das ist ohnehin schon rechtsfreier Raum. Also Soldatenrecht ist dann erst recht rechtsfreier Raum. Es klingt sehr böse, aber das ist meine persönliche Einschätzung, die nicht unbedingt von allen geteilt werden muss. Sie sagt, es gibt jetzt jedenfalls eine Chance und einige Gouverneure haben sogar schon ausdrücklich, wir wissen das aus Texas, ausdrücklich gesagt, Impfungen werden auf keinen Fall verpflichtend gemacht. Der letzte, der das gesagt hat, ist der Gouverneur von Arizona gewesen. Und sie sagt, möglicherweise macht es auch einen Unterschied. In den USA weiß ich, dass das so ist. Hier bin ich mir da gar nicht so sicher, habe gesagt, ich glaube es eigentlich eher nicht. Aber wenn man einen Kläger hat, eine Person als Kläger hat, der oder die sympathisch ist, die rüberkommt. Also hier geht es jetzt um ein 18-jähriges Mädchen, eine 18-jährige junge Frau, die mit Johnson & Johnson geimpft, in Anführungsstriche, wurde und die dann einen, noch einen und noch einen Schlaganfall bekommen hat. Diese Sachen könnten tatsächlich helfen.
Was sie auch noch gesagt hat, ist, dass die Amerikaner wohl ziemlich abgestoßen sind davon, wie die Impfungen ihnen aufgedrängt werden sollen. Also dass das einige so wirklich befremdet und sie eben keine Lust mehr haben, in diese Richtung zu denken. Und dass sie sogar den Eindruck hat, dass das mit den Impfungen im Moment ziemlich durch ist in Amerika und da nicht mehr viel passiert.
Ja. So this push that people experience of they're having, you must get vaccinated, this has put many people off, right?
Yes, let me clarify two things. I don't speak German, but I heard you say President Biden. Let me be clear. The person who's slowing up a little bit, I meant President Trump. This is a big deal because he's so proud of Operation Warp Speed that He never will say anything other than how great it was. So I managed to get through to him through three different people. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, when he spoke publicly, he said, yes, it's great, Operation Warp Speed, but you shouldn't give it to children. It should be voluntary. We need him to say that, like, very strongly lead on this issue, and I'm working really hard. I can tell you that the American people have dug in their heels. They're not getting vaccinated if they don't want to. The reason is it's been going on, this very difficult push. It's been about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And the people who didn't already give in are not going to give in, because they know something's wrong. Mm-hmm. The government got very, very desperate. You probably know they're offering free money, free college, free ice cream. And the people understand, and the people are willing to say no. Those who've given in already give in, the others will not. The reason it's important that President Trump jumps in front is because I don't see any other resolution. Our side is not giving in. It's very, very clear. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose their jobs. Whatever's going to happen will happen. We'll win in court, but it's going to be split in America. Mm. And so the reason I want President Trump to jump in is he's probably the only person who can put it together by forcing their side to stop. Mm-hmm. And may I take your question? I didn't hear your question.
Yeah, that was my question. If the if this enormous push for the vaccines is putting people off, but quite obviously it is.
Very. It's become, there's two things that happened. It became so obvious with all the bribery of to get the shot that people think it's very weird in America, very strange. And then at the same time, the scientists that are bold, it's every night on the news, some problem. So the two things together make people very nervous. Mm-hmm. Another little piece of information. When you go out in different cities, there are now signs up that say you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated, right? So people like us don't care. We don't wear a mask anyway. But it's interesting how many people do wear a mask. Right? Are they not choosing to be vaccinated? You know, Americans are very, you know, pretty obedient. Why are they wearing a mask? We think a lot of those people are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We don't believe as many have been vaccinated as they say, maybe 50%.
Yeah, that's what our friend Leslie Manoukian, who works very close, you may know her. She works very closely with another group of lawyers, and she's the filmed a documentary which is called "The Greater Good," and it deals with vaccine damage. I think it got a number of prizes some 10 or 11 years ago when she first, when this documentary was first shown. So she says the same thing. She says that no more than maybe 40-something percent of the American population has been vaccinated. And those who haven't gotten vaccinated will not get vaccinated.
I know I'm repeating myself, but the reason I think I'm getting through to President Trump is the message I'm sending him is your people will not follow you. But if you jump in front, they will follow you. Mm-hmm. If you jump in front on this vaccine issue, I want to assure you, people will not change their minds on this vaccine issue. They will not. There will be war, or there will be a separation of our societies, but yeah. they will not do it.
I don't think there's going to be a war, and I hope there is not going to be a war, but it's a good thing, in my view, that the Fourth Amendment is still around. Now we know why, because the amendment was first introduced into the Constitution because of this clear danger that was right there at the beginning, was more visible than later, but that you may have to be able to defend yourself against the people, against your own government. And now we have that situation. And I think it's not going to come to a war, but it's a good thing that people do have these, in this situation at least, it's a good thing that people know how to defend themselves. Let me translate.
Sorry, really quick. I too don't think it's coming to a war, but I think it's going to come to a separation of society into two camps. Yeah. And that's the speech I give every night is the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And I'm really activating the citizens. We have thousands of people most every night.
Yeah. I think this is also happening here in Germany. It's also happening all over the world. There is going to be a parallel society, which will not revert back to what we had before this, because nobody wants this. We want to get rid of the corporations. We want to get rid of the NGOs. We want to get rid of these supranational entities, which are all run by the same powerful, rich people. We're going to concentrate on regionalism and all these things. It's a good thing you're telling me this story. This is, makes me quite happy. Let me translate this. Also, sie sagt, dass die, haben wir das schon gesagt, dass es Trump war und nicht Biden?
Nee.
Haben wir noch nicht übersetzt. Also, sie hat mithilfe ihres Briefs nicht Biden, sondern Trump angeschrieben und über drei Ecken hat das geklappt. Sie sieht ihn immer noch als den Präsidenten. Es ist aber auch üblich, in den USA spricht man auch von den ehemaligen Präsidenten, spricht man auch immer an als Mr. President immer noch. Sie sagt, dass in der Tat, das, was wir gerade nachgefragt haben, das ist so. Gerade dieser enorme Push, dass man den Leuten wirklich mit Gewalt diese Impfung aufzwingen wollte, dazu geführt hat, dass die Leute misstrauisch geworden sind. Es ist wohl tatsächlich so, wie auch Leslie Manoukian sagt, dass nicht mehr als 43% der Bevölkerung geimpft worden sind und an den Rest kommt man nicht ran. Die anderen werden es nicht machen. Sie beschreibt, dass die Leute, die bisher nicht geimpft worden sind, es auch ganz bestimmt jetzt nicht mehr machen werden, weil man eben auch in den Mainstream-Medien, Fox News ist einer davon, von den Adverse Events berichtet. Es gibt jetzt sogar Schilder in vielen Städten, sagt sie, dass man keine Maske tragen muss, wenn man geimpft worden ist. Und Simone Gold sagt, naja, aber es gibt immer noch eine ganze Menge, die trotzdem eine Maske tragen. Sie sagt, sie hat sowieso nie eine Maske getragen, aber sie geht davon aus, dass eine ganze Menge Menschen sich nicht impfen lassen haben und deswegen die Maske tragen. Also die Zahl derer, die sich nicht impfen lassen hat, ist offenbar viel, viel größer. Sie sagt, der Präsident Trump muss verstehen und scheint zu verstehen, dass seine Leute ihm nicht folgen werden, wenn er nicht mit dieser Impfkampagne aufhört, beziehungsweise er hat ja dieses, wie hieß das nochmal, diese Fast-Track-Geschichte, Warp-Speed-Geschichte erfunden. Aber er ist derjenige, der gesagt hat, ist okay, das mit den Kindern muss nicht sein. Sie sagt, es wird entweder zu einem Krieg kommen, glaubt sie aber am Ende nicht, glaube ich auch nicht, oder aber es wird zu einer Spaltung der Gesellschaft führen. Also sie hat das als Separation der Society bezeichnet. Das passiert gerade überall auf der Welt. Damit hat, glaube ich, die Gegenseite auch nicht gerechnet, dass es zu einer echten Spaltung kommt, nicht zu einem Krieg. Ein Teil der Gesellschaft lebt eben dann ein völlig anderes, nicht geimpftes und so weiter Leben. In den USA ist diese Kriegsgefahr deshalb anzusprechen, weil dort mehr Waffen sind als in jedem anderen Land. Je Einwohner gibt es nicht nur eine, sondern mehrere Waffen, teilweise auch Kriegswaffen. Das ist Resultat des sogenannten vierten Zusatzartikels zur amerikanischen Verfassung, wo das Recht, Waffen zu besitzen, festgeschrieben ist, trotz aller Versuche, das abzuschaffen. Ich habe gesagt, ich hatte früher das Problem, dass ich auch gesagt habe, hey, das ist doch der Wahnsinn, das führt ja zu allen möglichen Massenmorden. Ob es dazu geführt hat, ist äußerst zweifelhaft. Auch die Geschichten sind teilweise völlig falsche Geschichten, die wir da gehört haben. Jedenfalls sagt sie, dass die beiden Zusatzartikel der Verfassung, die sie bei ihren Reden immer anspricht, einmal der erste ist, First Amendment, und einmal der vierte. Der vierte ist das mit dem Recht, Waffen zu besitzen, und der erste Zusatzartikel ist das Recht auf Meinungsfreiheit. Damit scheint sie große Erfolge zu haben. Okay, I got that translated too.
Okay.
Well, so things are moving in the right direction, right? You're mute. Simone, you're muted.
Sorry, thank you. Apologize. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, things are moving in the right direction. I don't know what will happen, but the feeling is, I think we're more on the offensive and they are more on the defensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've also, from America's Frontline Doctors, because of the support from the American people, I've been able to hire a lot of lawyers.
Very
good. We are hiring a lot of lawyers.
That's very good. I think this is extremely important. I think America's Frontline Doctors is an extremely important movement. You're the first ones who got out, who came out into the open. And I think the entire world has been watching you for quite a while now. And people are very impressed by the achievements that you've made.
Let me share with you that in 1 month, or what, 6 weeks, we will be doing a 1 year anniversary special. It's going to be broadcast everywhere. And it's going to be, like last time, a lot of doctors speaking to the American people and the world. But this time also, I'm putting a lot of lawyers. We're going to do a bunch of doctors and a bunch of lawyers and a bunch of citizens, because we branched into citizen outreach. And we have the lawyers and we have the citizens. So we'll educate with the doctors, then the lawyers, then the citizens. It's never been done. We have arrangements to make sure it's broadcast everywhere. So
that's great.
We'll try.
Yeah. We know this is going to be watched by many, many people all over the world. And I think it's inspiring and it's empowering. And I think it'll motivate a lot of people to emulate this, to do the same thing.
Good.
All right. Okay. Is there anything that needs to be mentioned? Okay. Well, Simone, this is cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everything you all are doing. Thank you.
When we're through with this, we're all going to be dancing on the tables.
Yes.